It's 3 months since the accident, and because I've slowed down and I feel a bit better, I'm now speeding up again. I fill my life back up with stuff. I'm using nature to get better, but I still don't know anything about the science and theories behind it. I just know it's working. My diary's full with busy mum stuff, kids' activities, play dates. I start socialising again. Go out for dinners, friends come for lunch, cups of tea. Cooking's getting easier, but I stick to my own recipes that I know well. Using cookbooks is still hard. I'm racing towards the finish line. I'm almost better. The headaches are continuing and it's still hard to concentrate, but my GP wants me to start using email again. I'm nervous. How many thousands of emails will be waiting? Anyway, she wants me to start small. Spend 30 minutes a day on email. Don't multitask. I mustn't be on my phone checking my email while I'm wrangling the kids. I need to sit down at a computer. Build it up slowly. My GP also wants me to keep up my walking. She tells me to take half-hour relaxing walks each day, not busy mum walks. But she says I must let go of expectations about returning to work. What? Why? Aren't I getting better? I tell my doctors how when I get in a day of bushwalking or a walk around Sydney's coast, it's really noticeable how much better I am at functioning. It's not only while I'm in nature, for days after my focus and concentration improves and I get way less headaches. I don't know how I'd cope if I couldn't do all this walking in the natural world. My friend J-Mac joins me on midweek hikes.
I know we started gravitating towards being outside and going for walks. And I know that that was important to you. From that point of view, I definitely had a sense that that was achieving something. You would kind of say to me, like, oh, this feels really good right now. Or, like, I haven't gotten this far before. Not in terms of distance we'd walked, but in terms of how much we were able to talk about things. I think, you know, everyone, it was surprising the degree of limitation that you had to adapt to, had to accept, to you for sure, but also to me, you know, because like it super messed you up.
Talking to J-Mac reminded me of a time 3 months after the accident when he invited me to a documentary and burrito night in his share house. I think he was trying to push me along a bit. I'm nervous, but also excited to get out, catch up with some colleagues. I'm anxious about how to interact with them. I walk from the train station with my big bowl of guacamole. We squash into the kitchen and make massive burritos. We go back for seconds. Then we settle in to watch the doco that J-Mac organised. I'm sitting next to his friend, Ruth. She's a doco maker I've met before. We've had some good conversations in the past. But this time it's awkward. Ruth asks how I am, about my life and my kids and my partner. But I just can't tell her. I worry that people who don't know me really well, when they hear that I've had a brain injury, they'll treat me differently. Then I'll never be able to move on. I'll always be seen as that chick who had the brain injury. So I avoid talking about myself or my life. The film starts.
Sandra, qui avait un petit truc qui se passait, elle était dans son...
It's the first film I've watched since the accident. Subtitles. Bloody hell, of course. I don't know how I'm going to do this. The combination of trying to read the subtitles but also watch the film and listen to the sounds is too much for my head. I can feel the pressure building, a strong headache kicks in. I get through the film by closing my eyes when the subtitles come on. I worry what Ruth must think, that I've fallen asleep or I'm bored. How embarrassing. But hey, I made it out at night, got through the whole film, and the headache didn't last. I'm winning. My headache diary is also showing the improvements. I managed to read some short stories. I watch more TV. Still just light stuff like comedy, but it's something. I even listen to a podcast while I'm doing the dishes. I keep pushing myself. I force myself to sit in my local cafe and read a newspaper. Can't say I'm enjoying it. I wonder how I used to do this for fun. want to close my eyes and ears to block out the stimulation. It feels like I need to turn something down or turn it off. But I stick it out and leave with a mild headache that doesn't last long. I catch the train down to Heathcote National Park. I take my friend J-Mac to that spot at Kingfisher Pool where I had my light bulb nature moment. I love the textures of the bark, the scribbly gums and the knobbly Banksia trunks. J-Mac points out intricate patterns on some tiny plants we brush past. The wildflowers are out, it's spring. Birds feed off their nectar and sing us a few songs. The earthy smells of the forest are invigorating. I notice the tree patterns, the layers of life in the forest. The water falling into Kingfisher Pool. We're not sure what we might stumble across. An echidna, wallaby, blue-tongued lizard, black cockatoos. Hopefully not eels in the swimming hole.
These natural effects we think are multimodal. So it's not just visual, it's not just auditory, it's not just tactile. It's the combination of all these things. When you're actually out in the environment, you're getting the multimodal experience.
That's Associate Professor Mark Berman. He runs the Environmental Neuroscience Lab at the University of Chicago.
When you just have the view, you're only getting the visual experience. So we think part of it is that the richness of the environment, or it's more immersive when you're actually in it versus kind of more distanced from it.
I'm finally starting to feel better. I reckon I'll be back at work before Christmas. My shoulder might still be a bit dodgy, but my head's nearly there. I've been feeling so good, I start to get complacent. I slip back on the bushwalks. I'm not keeping up my regular doses of nature. And then things feel like they might be starting to unravel. I get a bunch more headaches. My threshold is lowered again. I try to return to Elena Ferrante's Neapolitan novels I was reading when I had the accident. I can't even process the text. A headache builds. Surely this isn't happening. I'm nearly better, remember?
I was playing college lacrosse my sophomore year and got hit with a lacrosse ball in the face.
I was really excited to find Kate Ward while I was researching the podcast and have a chat to share our similar experiences. I spoke to her on Skype 8 years after her accident.
It essentially put me in a dark room for a dark room for a month.
So a dark room, you mean you had to stay in a dark room, like literally stay in a dark room?
Yeah. My childhood home, my room is in the basement. And so I lived in this dark room. Obviously that first month was really hard and very depressing.
And so if you weren't in a dark room, what happened?
If I was in sunlight for a couple of minutes, it would trigger a pretty intensive migraine.
Could you, because I couldn't listen to music or anything like that. Could you listen to music?
I didn't have as much issue with the audio piece as the visual. Mine was all stemmed from visual stimulation.
Kate initially took 6 months off college and then returned for a semester. She mainly took environmental science classes, so she was outside a lot. Then over the summer, Kate got an internship to do field research.
Was doing grassland field research where I'd spend my whole day kind of combing through grasslands, essentially looking for birds' nests, which is, I think a lot of people would hear that and consider it fairly boring work. But for me, it was the first time that I felt like I had longer periods of clarity in my day. And so I started to make this connection that screens and artificial lights were a huge trigger for my migraines. And so I went to my college advisor after this internship and said, I don't think I'm going to make it through school. I'm ready to drop out and do something else. This just isn't going to work for me. And she, thank goodness for this woman, but she said, all right, hold on a minute and let me talk to some people. And it turns out that there was this spot open on something called the Adirondack Semester, which it was hosted in a yurt village in the Adirondacks. And so in order to get to this village, you'd have to hike in a mile and then paddle a canoe across the lake. And there was no technology, and we had two solar panels, so we had light sometimes, and no running water. But we took four college courses, and all of them were screen free. It was all books and by hand. And so my professor, my mentor, was like, there's a spot open on this program. I think that you should consider doing it. If screens are your problem, this could be a really good avenue for you. And so 2 weeks later, I paddled across the lake there at the program. And I had one migraine the entire time. And after just a couple of days, I felt the fog lift. And I felt like for the first time in 2 years, I could think clearly. And so much of that was embedded in this program, right? Because we had limited electricity, we'd go to sleep when the sun went down, we'd get up when the sun came up, and it proved to be this really incredible and healing experience for me. I assumed that was my healing process, that I was going to be healed at the end of this. And then starting with the drive home after, my migraine set in and it was like I got hit in the head all over again. I took another 6 months off from school and like slowly had to piece myself back together. And that was by far the darkest time in this whole process, because I thought I was healed. And so for me, it almost embedded even more so, just like you were saying, but in a larger time chunk or time frame, it feels like that, oh, this is like a healthy place for me. And this crazy overstimulated world we live in is not a healthy place for me. How do I reconcile those two things?
Kate was hit by the lacrosse ball in 2010. Around 2 years later, she did the college course in the isolated yurt and found she could function again. But when she went home, her symptoms returned.
So I graduated college. I started teaching, and I went to the school that I work for and I said, like, this environment isn't going to work for me. I don't feel healthy in it. And I don't know what to do. And they said, well, we'll come up with some ideas. And so I said, all right, I want to build a yurt on campus. We live in Western Mass, so it's like we're wooded. We have 400 acres of woods. It's beautiful. And
oh my God, I want to come and visit. That sounds amazing.
Oh my gosh, please do. You're always welcome to. I said, I want to build a yurt on campus, and I want to teach environmental science out of the yurt. So push comes to shove, they were like, cool idea. The permitting for yurts is crazy, but we had this old cabin kind of in the woods and it's a tech-free course. All of the students, it's like written in the course description, so that's what they buy into. And in order to get there, you kind of have to walk through this little path through the woods, and then you're at my environmental science cabin.
It was so good to chat to Kate and find out that I wasn't alone in this experience of using nature to fix my brain.
Brain on Nature is a podcast series produced by Sarah Allerley. Olivia Rosenman co-produced. And if you want to know more about Sarah's journey, head to brainonnature.com. Tomorrow, Sarah faces a major challenge in her recovery from brain injury.